you're listening to All in a Day. Well, she's traded in her sleeping bag for a real bed and her Coleman stove for a proper kitchen. But in just a few days, Andrea Cordonnier will return to life on the road. On Sunday, she'll pack her bags and her four kids back into her Dodge Caravan and head home. The Burritts Rapids mother has been traveling across the country with her children. We've been checking in with her along the way, and today we've tracked down Andrea in White Rock, British Columbia. Hello, Andrea.
Hello, Stu. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good.
How are things in White Rock today?
Well, actually, lovely. Nice stretch of hot weather. Lots, you know, perfect for beaching. Plus, my very, very dear friend, Teresa, has arrived bearing gifts. And there she is in the background. And I have to confess, we started the cocktails.
Oh, very nice.
It's a good day.
And you're 3 hours earlier than us, even.
That's right.
Wow.
I know. But, you know, I always wait for that 11 o'clock and then we're okay.
Good for you.
We're respectable.
You're from White Rock. How is it to be back with your kids in tow?
Well, it is a little bit of a home, old home week for sure. I mean, I used to live on the island. I lived in the Lower Mainland in Surrey, and then finally had a house out here in White Rock before I went home. So, you know, it's always kind of nice to take the kids around and show them some of the sights and some of the things that I really, really liked about here. My favorite place, probably one of the top five places in the whole world that I love, is called Blackie Spit, which is a part of Crescent Beach. And it just doesn't get any better than that, really. And the only thing that really surprised me was just how much construction, how much building is going on out here. It's, it makes me pine a little bit for the rural setting.
Have you been able to point out to your kids some of those things that were there when you were around White Rock living and what hasn't changed?
Oh, sadly, I was a little verklempt yesterday. We were driving along Crescent Beach Road and a lot of the really charming cottages that were on the, you know, overlooking the water, overlooking the basin there, have been pulled down in favor of these giant monster housing. And I brought tears to my eyes because, change is inevitable, but it was really sad to see those old cottages go. And you know, I'm sure they had all filled with very good memories of, you know, long lives spent there, so.
I know the odd time I get back to Vancouver from when I lived there in the early 90s, no buildings are sacred in Vancouver. There's always an opportunity for a bigger, flashier condo, no matter where it is.
It's astounding, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's astounding. Now, I understand you were out here, though.
I was, as a matter of fact. I've been back for, I think, 2 weeks now, but my wife and I and our two kids, 9 and 11, we tripped to Nelson.
Excellent.
Stayed at Kokanee Creek Provincial Park. Headed north to Revelstoke and then sort of did a U-turn, came back. So followed some of the track you've been on.
Okay, are you from there, or were living on the coast at some point?
No, I did a degree in Vancouver, but my wife's from Edmonton. So part of the plan was to make a road trip and then spend some time in Edmonton.
Excellent. Now, I had a chance to go online and check out your scavenger hunt.
The scavenger hunt, that's
what
right.
What a laugh. Now, did you put that together before you got on the road
No.
as you were on the road?
No, Andrew. We were probably in about the Sioux, I guess.
Okay.
And we'd stopped by Value Village and bulked up on used Archie comic books for the kids to read. And they were so absorbed in these books. The books were doing their jobs. They were keeping the kids from asking, are we there yet?
Yes.
But they weren't seeing much of the scenery we were driving by. And I began to worry because the second day in Ontario, there's some great scenery.
Yes.
So I devised the scavenger hunt that can be completed from inside the car.
And
excellent. It's a list of 75 things that kids can look for outside as they're going by in a blur. Have you? What's your favorite on the list?
Well, let me tell you my comment about it. So it was in three parts of 25 questions each. Did you do the first part, then the second part, then came up with the third part? Was it that linear?
I did the first 25 items.
Okay.
And then I did, within an hour, another 25. And then it was about a week and a half later on the return leg that I finished off with the tiebreaker, the last 25 pieces.
Excellent, because my comment would be they got more esoteric as they went along, so and more experiential. So that was my sense, that you had done the first early and you had done the later, the other ones. And now I have to tell you, I wrote down like seven of them because there's some that I didn't get. Hmm. So it was like, oh, he must be really relaxed and on vacation now. So I loved your number 35, which was find a section of the road that goes down, crosses a bridge, goes back up and makes a right turn.
I'm right.
Holy cow. Car named after something, number 74, car named after something you would find in space.
Right.
I still haven't come up with my own answer. 66, a symmetrical dwelling whose corners are not 90 degrees.
Do you know what that is? Do you know what that's supposed to pick
up? No, what is that?
A round house or an octagonal house or a pentagonal house.
Okay. You're way more clever than I am.
But it couldn't be, I didn't want it to be a barn because there are all kinds of agricultural buildings.
Okay.
Graffiti.
Okay, number 65, a yard or field whose fencing describes a triangular area.
No one could find that.
What was it?
A triangular field is all I was looking for. But shields aren't built like
that. Do you see what I mean? You went from, like, find a red helmet, I think, or, you know, find a white truck or a white sports car to that. I loved it. It was a great progression. I think you should have that analyzed.
Well, maybe. It's a bit of a literary document on its own. What are the highlights for you of the trip? What's going to stand out in your memory as you begin to come home?
Well, you know, I was thinking about, I kind of go back to my pictures all the time and have a look at where we went, because we seem to be cramming a lot into a very short time. And I guess the thematic is really elemental stuff. So anything to do with water, rocks, fire, and trees seem to be the things that, you know, we're doing and that the kids are loving. So we were on the coast, I think, last time I called in. Excuse me, we're waiting for a ferry, and we were on our way over to Powell River and Texada Island. So that was really cool, because I used to live in Powell River when I was a kid, and we went and saw we actually lived in a trailer park, and we went and saw my trailer park. And then we went over to Texada Island and stayed with some friends over there, Bob and Diane, who lived there and used to be our neighbors, and, you know, took a water taxi over to Savory and spent the day on this gorgeous white sand beach, went over the island to South Beach. That was amazing. Anything to do with being on the beach. And then we went back to Powell River, and one of the things that was a stop that I wanted was to see an archaeological dig that was happening by members of Simon Fraser University's archaeological group on the Siam and First Nations. And it was very ironic, because we arrived there and they had just finished. They had just finished their feast. They had all the artifacts that they had found on display. We talked to Dana, who was the project leader, and she arranged for us to have a private tour of the shell midden where they were doing the dig.
Jeez, that's lucky.
So had we been 2 hours later, we would have been completely out of luck, or had we been the next day, you know, left another day, we wouldn't have seen that at all. So we had, you know, 3 hours of very much hands-on and one-on-one having a look at that. So that was really extraordinary, particularly for my eldest son, who's very much into archaeology.
Sounds great.
And then we went back to the coast and over to Vancouver Island, headed up the island and ended up at Cathedral Grove at Port Alberni before getting to Ucuilute and Tofino. You know, you never know with kids what's going to really turn their crank or not, but Cathedral Grove was a huge hit. There's trees in there that, you know, probably take seven people to wrap around.
To get your arms around,
and are between 300 and 700 years old.
Huh.
So truly that sense of the forest primeval, you know, you hear about that, but until you stand in there, you don't really know what the effect of that is.
Well, Andrew, we got to leave it there, but I think we'll try and get back in touch with you next week.
Excellent.
Obviously keeping good track of what you're seeing and what the experiences are, but we'll check in with you as you make a bit of progress next week. How's that?
Our usual Monday call-in.
Yeah, sounds great. Okay,
excellent.
Thanks a lot, Andrew.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
That's Andrea Cordonnier. She's our road-tripping mama. We'll check in again with her next week. In the meantime, you can email her some suggestions of where she might want to see on her way back to Ottawa, cbc.ca/allinaday, and you can click on Andrea's Trek. And for my scavenger hunt, if you're looking for that piece of document that we've been talking about, it's at cbc.ca/ottawamorning. You're listening